Welcome, everyone, to another exciting Week in Geek. We are in the Ides of June. Yes, that's a thing, I've decided. And this week is especially geeky. I'm Frank. I'm joined in the studio by Big Papa Pete, Al, and Nate. How are you three doing?
Hungry. Sup?
I'm doing all right. I'm all hanging right. In there.
Cool.
Rocking it.
All right. Wow. Anything else?
No.
Right. Peebo Bryson.
Peebo Bryson.
Yeah, that's an adjective now.
All right. It sure
look
is.
Look it up.
We do have some news about Broadway. We have news about Netflix. We have news about movies that we didn't quite see, and lots of other exciting things to get you caught up in this week of Geek. All right, where do we begin? You know what? Let's start off the show with a spoiler alert immediately. This is a spoiler alert for those of you who have not watched Star Wars, The Force Awakens. The Phantom Awakens was what I nearly said. All right, so if you're one of the three people who haven't seen this movie yet, tune out for the next 30 seconds, because it's not going to be that important. It's not quite related to Star Wars The Force Awakens, but Indiana Jones 5 got its okay recently. Did you guys know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Indiana Jones 5 is apparently happening. Steven Spielberg will be at the helm.
Good.
Harrison Ford will be on it as well.
Did they get Shia LaBeouf?
I did not check to see that. I don't think they did. But
come on, he needs me movies.
I want to see an epic battle between Shia LaBeouf and Short Round.
That would be interesting.
Who is Indy's true son?
Also very interesting. Kind of wish we knew the actor's name off the top of our heads. But
it's Short Round.
Oh, is it?
Right, yeah, that was his name.
So according to EW, Entertainment Weekly, Harrison Ford won't die in Indiana Jones 5, according to Spielberg.
Oh,
that is a weird title.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's not in the movie. Indiana Jones is.
So this went a little longer than I expected. If you're tuning back in, give us another 30 seconds to wrap up the story. Yeah, so apparently Spielberg said, quote, "The one thing I'll tell you is I'm not killing off Harrison at the end of it," which I believe is a direct knock against the Star Wars films or the Force Awakens, right? Because that's obviously what he's referencing.
I mean, clearly, but
yeah.
But I don't know.
Very interesting phrasing.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not killing Harrison.
I'm not killing Harrison at the end.
Oh, like, do you think he'll die in the
first scene? He shoots Indiana Jones in the head.
Awesome.
The guy with the sword from the first movie
finally comes,
like, comes back and, like, shoots him in the back of the head.
That'd be nice.
Like,
I would like that.
Beach.
Yeah. All right. So apparently this one will be straight down the pike for fans. Again, a weird quote from Spielberg, who seems to be trying his best to phone this in.
I get it. They're dropping Indiana Jones onto a pike
probably
at the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight down the pike.
Possibly. But I guess that's one of the major complaints that the Crystal Skull got, was that it was too weird because it was more sci-fi than magical or religious
fantasy, I guess. Yeah.
I've never really shared that complaint, but all right, so you're in, like, a standard story. Good for you guys. That's my Indiana Jones story. Anybody got something they want? Hey, speaking of movies, Al, did you want? But
I was thinking
smooth.
But I was genuinely thinking about the new Warcraft film that just came out, which a lot of people were hedging hopes and dreams about, like, this is going to be, finally, the good video game film. Not just, like, passable or, like, good
really?
Enough. It was going to be, oh, finally, we're going to have a classic. We're going to have a good video game movie.
Did people really think? I'm surprised people thought that. Most of what I heard was
they
that
wanted
people,
it to be that. They were hoping and praying
that
for
it was garbage,
did
that people thought
like
it would
Twister?
Be terrible.
Oh, no, video game.
Yeah. They were hoping for it. Like, the first trailer really got a lot of people hopeful, and the second one kind of turned a few people off.
Mm.
But it's weird looking at the reactions to this film as it's been out. I unfortunately haven't been able to see it.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
So I've also seen a fair amount of people knocking this movie down immediately before seeing it. This is, like, in trailer time.
Right.
Because it seemed, it seemed kind of crappy. It was this weird CGI orcs and, like, a really dramatic plot line. It just seemed like it was going to be your standard video game failure movie. So I've also seen the other side of the argument. Now, what have you actually seen now that the movie has been hit?
I've seen polarized opinions, like, across the board. Like,
really?
It isn't even just... I wish I could even say it's, oh, everybody hates it or loves it. It's not even that. It's just, like, people... And it's not dependable on whether or not you've played the games or not. It's not dependable upon whether or not you're like, you just walked into this fresh and have no idea what's going on. Like, people have outright hated it, said it's a mess. They said you can't follow it. People have walked in and said, wow, this was really good. This was better than I expected to be. It's a fantastic film.
Huh.
Would film again. We'll go see it again.
Huh.
And then, like, some people have just said, yeah, it's pretty good. Had some pacing issues, which has been the biggest complaint thus far.
The consistent complaint is pacing?
Is pacing issues.
Yeah.
Which is kind of common for films, especially like this, that are trying to be big epics, is you can run into a few pacing issues.
It's hard to do a brief epic.
Yeah,
I heard a lot of complaints about how, wow, this is a really good setup for like four or five more films.
I can imagine that.
I mean, that's fair.
Like, it's not a good movie in and of itself, but boy, did it set those other movies up.
A lot of establishment. For what I've read, again, I expected everyone to think this was a stinker. It kind of looked like a stinker to me.
Yeah.
But from what I've read, people have loved it, surprisingly. Like, they've pleasantly surprised. And I've even read articles where people are like, hey, you know what? This movie is a tragedy. As in, like, it's a, like, that's the narrative format. It is a tragedy. If you watch it as a tragedy, it's actually a really interesting film.
Hmm.
And this blows my mind because for whatever reason, I don't give Warcraft any credit. I don't know what it is. I think it's because it's a video game property, which may be some of my geek chip on my shoulder, you know? Like, to me, it's not like an author didn't write this. Even though I do recognize that someone wrote the game scripts, and there are books in the Warcraft universe, but somehow it's like corporate. It's like this was made by Collective. I don't know why that is. I don't know why my head does that, but
don't necessarily think any part of that is technically true out of that, because like the Warcraft lore did require like authors and people to come up with a story and for things like and a narrative. I mean, I get where you're coming from though, because it does, because from that complete outside perspective, I can like, it's like, oh, well, this is just shilling out something fantasy generic.
Right.
You know, I gotta say that it's really like, even playing Warcraft, there's a lot of differences. Like, some plots are terrible. I played through like certain arcs and was like, this is boring drivel that I can't believe anyone published. There's no soul to this. And then some of those, like, even quest plots in Warcraft made me cry like a baby. Some of them were really good, some of them were really emotional, and some just really, really weren't. And I guess it depends on the writer, and so writing the movie, I can see them picking and choosing parts to keep and parts to maybe flesh out a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it really could go any direction.
So what I'm curious, especially from you, the listeners, if you leave comments in this post so we could follow along with you, is, again, am I alone in feeling this way, or is this something that, like, maybe we'll grow out of over time? Because let me paint you a picture here. So Tolkien writes Lord of the Rings, or, you know, whatever. Anybody writes any recent, you know, novel of a series of novels.
Right.
I can respect that as an artistic endeavor that is writing. I would call that writing. You're writing a bunch of books. Great. Even if you're, you know, Martin, right? Then you get somebody who's writing for television, right? They're people who are writing episodes of a sitcom, maybe even like a kid's sitcom, where they're writing episodes of a cartoon show. You know, they're not really invested in these characters so much. This isn't a personal product, but still, they're bringing they're trying to tell an original story. My head still reads that as the artistic endeavor of writing. All right, cool. So, comic book writing, right? You don't create those characters. You don't own those characters. You're just playing with other people's toolbox. Toys in the toolbox. Cool. Or toys in the toy box, even better. Yep. See it as an artistic endeavor of writing. For some reason, for me at least, when it comes to video games, like, if you told me the plot line or the universe of the Mario series, I would be like, yeah, but, I mean, they're not really writing. They're writing. Yeah, they're writing the script. Somebody wrote down the dialogue and the plot of a bunch of adventures, but it's not the artistic pursuit of writing. That's how my mind reads it. And for you, the audience, I want to know if you agree with me on that, or if this is just something, maybe I'm just old and I'm not a gamer. Like, maybe this is something that's going to completely go away, but I've never heard of like a game winning an award for best writing.
Oh, do it all
except
time.
For like a game award show.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, they're not going to win an award at a movie screening because it's not a film.
I kind of get it. And like, yeah, book authors of novels don't win Academy Awards for writing either.
Yeah.
But for some reason, in my head, it's just like, well, that doesn't count.
Well, you also got to consider that, I mean, if you're writing for Warcraft, it is actually really different than if you're writing for like a sitcom, because the only people who get to write for Warcraft are people who really, really like Warcraft. Warcraft is definitely kind of one of those passion things where if you want to work for Blizzard, it's because you are a fan of what Blizzard does. And this doesn't really work out with a lot of projects, but with certain cartoons, TV shows, and video games especially, you don't get to work with them unless you are incredibly passionate about this specific thing. One of our favorite authors for Transformers is Mr. James Roberts, who got his start in fan fiction that he didn't get paid for. And with a lot of things, unless you are really incredibly passionate about this particular IP, you don't get the opportunity to write for it.
Mm.
So.
I see. I'm curious about what your feedbacks are. Feedbacks? Your multiple feedbacks mm-hmm. are as well. So you leave us comments. Anybody else have anything else to say about this chapter before we close it and throw it out the window?
I'll throw it out the window.
Week in Geek. All right.
Yes.
I was going to say, Warcraft doesn't look colorful enough, and that makes me sad.
Aww, all right. True. It's a very colorful universe.
Unfortunately, it's out the window now, and that's a sound effect we are not going to add in post-production. Next, who's got another story?
I have something else related to movies, actually.
Oh, cool. Why don't you just hijack the entire podcast? No, that's fine.
Well, apparently John Boyega, since we were talking about Star Wars not too long ago, actually, has decided to buy the rights for Pacific Rim 2 and is willing to produce and then star in Pacific Rim 2.
Interesting. Which, I actually did not hear that part of it. I just heard that he was going to star in Pacific Rim 2. I didn't realize he was actually buying the rights and doing like the production work too. Yep. Nice.
Oh no, he absolutely started his own production company just for this movie, I do believe.
Interesting. What do you guys think about that?
I love John Boyega. Excited to see him in Pacific Rim.
I think it's interesting that we were just talking about passion projects and like having people work for stuff that like, you know, they want to work out. So this is, again, it's a very prime example of that, where it's just, all right, I love this thing so much, I'm going to go buy the rights to it and give it as much power and wealth as I can.
Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that, and I love passion projects, and I love seeing people who are passionate about what they're working on it. But you also have to remember that the Avatar The Last Airbender movie wasn't itself a passion project.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I know. Yeah. He was a massive fan, and the only reason it actually tanked was because of mostly corporate involvement that ruined most of the decisions that could be made about that.
Apparently, Battleship Earth is another example where somebody who was incredibly passionate about
Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth, right. Mm-hmm. So passion projects can kind of bite you in the... And in fact, that's what I've heard. I've heard John Boyega is like, he could theoretically be a leading man. He could be in like, you know, mainstream films. Is he going to be Harrison Ford after... This is a stupid argument. Is he going to be Harrison Ford after The Force Awakens? Or is he going to be Mark Hamill, who, you know, works on these passion projects and these things he cares a lot about and he's, like, a lasting effect in the fandom? But Pacific Rim, like, is it really high-profile enough? I know everyone here loved it, or at least I think everyone here... I know people in the radio station, a lot of us did. But I don't know how... Like, I don't know if this is a good idea or
Del
not.
Del Toro would have to still be attached to it for me definitely. To really approve of it.
And I think he is. I do believe he is.
It can really go either way, honestly. Mm. It's going to be either really bad or really good, I think. But there won't be much of a middle ground.
Straight to video. Straight to VHS.
Whoa, okay, that's a passion project.
If you manage to get a video game straight to VHS, I applaud you, honestly.
A video game? That would be awesome.
I don't know why I thought it was a video game.
Let's do this. There were several... Speaking of Week in Geek, new video games released on VHS. That would be awesome.
As long as we're talking about Star Wars stars in movies, we also just found out that General Hux himself, Domhnall Gleeson, is going to be playing A.A. Milne. The creator of Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
Awesome.
All right.
With the same type of demeanor.
And his wife is going to be played by, and now I can't think of her name, Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad.
Oh my God.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, this is, and it's a story about the whole creating...
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, and the effect that it had on his family, which if you know anything about it, mm-hmm. the actual Christopher Robin is incredibly bitter about it.
Margot Robbie?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
I had no idea.
He really views it as his childhood was strip mined and sold off.
Whoa.
No, I can which honestly really appreciate that idea.
Was all it was his father sitting down writing the little stories that... Huh. Christopher Robin told.
So this is a big quagmire of sadness.
Oh, yes.
Who will be playing Eeyore in this? The audience.
Yes.
Huh.
Wow.
That's my story.
Speaking of audiences,
ooh.
She Loves Me will become the first Broadway show to stream live online.
Nice.
Huh. Yeah. Very excited about that.
Yeah. So apparently there's been like limited attempts to stream a lot of Broadway, or at least, you know, productions, play productions. I know
like the Fathom Events type
does it for the Met every once in a while.
Streams them into the theater, into movie theaters around the country.
Right. But this one, this is actually a situation where you could buy or reserve a live stream pass online for about $10. And it's part of Broadway HD's on-demand library. So you could get it on Roku or Apple TV or lots of other streaming devices, probably Chromecast, and basically see the entire play early and, you know, get an interesting perspective. I'm not sure if I would be totally up for this, but at the same time, I see where the advantage is. Not only for, you know, like people with... mobility issues who maybe can't make it out to Broadway, or but also cheap people like me.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the idea of early access.
I do believe it is early access.
Because if that means that they're going to be streaming the previews, that's very interesting, because that when you go to a Broadway show when it's in previews, that show is still in development. They're still basically workshopping the show. They're going to make changes. Shows have been known to, you know, cut and move entire numbers to different parts of the show just because during the previews process, because it's seen as part of the production process.
Right.
Recently, they just the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child play is in previews in London right now, just to give an example. And after the first production, they decided, okay, you know what? We're not using live owls.
Oh, jeez. You want to talk about Harry Potter?
I really want to know why they made that decision.
Because one of the owls flew off into the rafters instead of returning to its mark after doing one of its stunts.
Oh,
that's really cool.
From what I've read of that play in general, what a mess.
It's interesting.
That's
I've heard
certainly
good things
a way to put
and
it.
Bad things.
You've heard good things, really?
From what I've...
People are liking the elements of the story.
From what I'm reading of it, it is a very good piece of theater.
Uh-huh.
You know, the theater community is excited for it. It's done well. It may not be your cup of tea if you are interested, if you liked the movies or the books.
Whoa. So basically, if you like Harry Potter, you probably wouldn't like the Harry Potter
musical. Well, not necessarily.
Musical.
It's just you have to understand how things translate to theater as opposed to movies.
Or novels.
Yeah, there are licenses that are taken in theater that, you know, it's...
That's fair, but my main problems with this is, and I'm not going to spoil it because I'm sure there are people out there who want to see it, it's got some interesting plot developments that I think were terrible. Frankly, terrible writing.
I think that's always a danger when you're, and we probably could devote an entire episode to that, but and I don't know anything about it, so there's no spoilers here, but I think it's always a danger when you do something that happens after the epilogue, because after Happily Ever After, you take chances when you try to go revisit, as probably apparent by Force Awakens, you know?
I mean, not even. If you go back to the original Harry Potter books, the last chapter did not sit well with most fans
the
in general.
Itself,
I liked it.
I mean, some people
did. Let's focus on the one play, She Loves Me, is directed by Scott Ellison, choreographed by Warren Carlyle, and it's about quarreling 1930s perfume counter clerks who are unaware that they are each other's anonymous romantic pen pals. That seems really cute.
Aww.
And also look a little bit like Are You Being Served? No? No?
Are You Being Served?
British comedy.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Okay,
there
gotcha,
we go.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. So, anybody else got a piece of news?
We're in the middle of E3 right now, I do believe.
That's true. Matt is actually covering E3 in our fan club right now, on facebook.com/group/nonpro. But is there anything that stood out to your mind?
Kojima walked on stage, showed some blurry video of Norman Reedus with a baby on the... Oh yeah, and he was naked, and then left. And honestly, that's the most exciting thing I've seen from E3.
Norman Reedus naked with a baby?
Norman Reedus naked with a baby on a beach with a bunch of dead whales and a C-section scar.
Oh, okay.
And Kojima said, what, I'm back and nothing else?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
A wonderful man, after my own heart, I promise.
How long was he gone?
Not that long, not about long. A year. About a year, yeah. Year and change.
But he's back.
Yeah.
With his weird actor friend. Who's naked. All right.
So, did we just witness a famous game designer person going mad on stage?
If you've seen any of his other games, I would say no.
Oh. No, this is pretty par
for the course.
This is the type of guy who put on a blonde wig and painted his face in order to look like he was from Holland, in order to pretend he was a completely different video game developer altogether.
Was it realistic, or was he just being somehow racist?
He was trying his damnedest to pull one over on fans, but like you could tell, like, Hideo Kojima and like whiteface, what's going on here?
Interesting.
Like, and it's like, and it was just like, I mean, it was really, this guy is like, he's almost insane clinically, but like he's so ingenious in what he does and has done so much for the industry in itself that like without him, I'd shudder to think where we would be.
Now, as someone who knows nothing about this, are these stunts typically somehow related to the video game?
Yes.
So he did something about a Dutch dude?
No, he pretended he was coming out with a different game entirely, advertised as something about whales being on fire, which actually happens in the game he was talking about. It all related to eventually revealing that there would be a Metal Gear Solid 5, which was one of Konami's big franchises before they decided to just build pachinko machines. And was one of the big sellers for PS4 in the early days of that.
Okay. Follow-up question.
Yeah.
What's this guy got against whales?
This is another game with dead whales.
Yeah.
This is quite honestly Silent Hills in the ocean, I do believe. He's cast Norman Reedus again. It's another hyper-realistic mo-capped game, and apparently it's going to be poop-your-pants scary. And it's still got Del Toro attached to it, I do believe.
Wow, all right, I'm excited.
It's got Del Toro and Kojima and Reedus. Norman Reedus and a mysterious baby.
Okay.
So it's Silent Hills in the ocean.
All right, interesting.
And Shia LaBeouf is playing the baby.
If only.
For those of you who like their entertainment more passive and don't want to play through them, there are a couple interesting options for you on Netflix. Just recently released Voltron, a new series of Voltron.
Yeah. Legendary Defenders.
Every review has been stellar. Apparently, the people who got the rights to do this loved the project and actually managed to create something that is worthy of the original and perhaps improves upon the original is what I've seen. That's the one thing where it seems people are a little bit on the fence about.
Right.
Whether the... tackiness isn't right. The right
campy.
Term. The campiness, the kitschiness of the original series is maybe a loss, but it certainly is supposed to be an amazing watch through. So the entire first season is available on Netflix. I cannot wait to marathon it this weekend.
Passion project done right.
Yeah, it seems like it. It definitely
and
seems like it.
And this is done by the same people who did like Avatar and Legend of Korra.
Is it?
Yes, it is actually, from what I understand. Same kind of, and they're, and I think that they're giving that level of skill they gave to those previous projects to this one. And watching what little previews I have of it, it has a very good sense of humor, B, wonderful animation, and C, it looks like it's starting to at least get some semblance of action in there that at least it's not, you know, the same footage being shown over and over again.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I think it's just BS that it's Lion Force. I mostly got that out with a straight face. Vehicle almost. Voltron sucks.
Well, that might actually wrap it up for this week in Geek. If you think there was something geeky we missed, why don't you write an angry letter to us in the comment section, and we will get right on that. Oh, also, there's a SpongeBob musical.
Oh, wow, yeah. Which apparently has a lot of really big names attached to it for
really big names.
Like, I was about to say for really no reason, but I'm like, no, Nickelodeon probably has a butt ton of cash. I can see why there would be a lot of big names.
A metric butt ton.
We've got Steven Tyler and Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
What?
We've got Sarah Bareilles, Jonathan Colton, Dirty Projectors, Alex Ebert of Edward Sharp, and the Magnet Zeros, The Flaming Lips.
Lady Antebellum,
Cyndi Lauper, Panic at the Discos.
Cyndi Lauper?
Plain White Tees, They Might Be Giants, T.I., and a song by David Bowie.
Hold on.
They might be giants.
Yeah. This is great, but I don't think we should be surprised. Not only is SpongeBob SquarePants like a icon for an entire generation, a generation that's going to theaters now with their own money.
Wow.
With
their own children.
Yeah. Yes. Jesus. But also, like, I mean, think of how many great Broadway productions were based off of really silly concepts, but are themselves really good shows. Yeah,
producers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Producers is a good example, but there's a lot of Broadway shows, and I'm floundering to think of a single one.
Starlight Express. Wait, neither of these were very good musicals.
Well, Cats, I don't think you could argue about Cats being
Cats
successful.
Was a very financially successful
and
musical.
As I will reference our earlier episode about superheroes and success and suggest that maybe making money is a good metric for success. I was thinking there was a Peanuts one. You're a blockhead Charlie Brown, was that?
Yeah,
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
You always have to remember one of the most successful musicals out there right now is
Seussical.
It's a rap music about Alexander Hamilton.
True, true.
Which just won a ton of awards.
Which makes me wonder why we can't get a revival of Up, It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman.
Oh, because that's the exception that proves the rule. So if we forgot anything else that's geeky in the week, why don't you leave an even angrier comment now that we gave you false hope that we were going to talk about it. And we will get right on that for you. Our listeners.
We love you.
Mm,
not me.
Platonically.
Eh.
Yeah. Well, I love you.
I tolerate your presence.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.